Yeah, welcome to the catch up, G. It was a big show today.
It was absolutely enormous. The Jeff Horn Manny Pacquiao fight that looks like it might have been stolen by the UAE. Don't worry, we had the head of the company that's putting the fight on trying to reassure us that it's going to be in Brisbane. That was good.
The boss, Bruce Springsteen, took you to the concert.
That was good.
Very cool.
Hey, Ross Greenwood, explain what dole bludgers are doing to our Australian budget. That's where your money's going. Yes. Well, stop me at any stage. That's where your money's going.
Yes. Here he is. It's Marto Hadley. I'm loving this, man. I love it.
Going to pensioners.
And the pensioners, yes, don't forget.
Have we said
them.
Mick Malloy back on?
Malloy's back with us, which is nice, complaining about the Radio Hunks list, which he's not on. Enjoy yourself, your catch up, and you know. Good luck to you in your life. It's 2-for-1 at Subway at the moment. That's not an ad. I just,
noticed.
Is that foot long or 6-inch, mate?
No, the wraps. And I just, I saw it the other day and I thought,
And don't accelerate through orange lights. Never accelerate through orange lights.
What
do you mean?
That's true.
Try to pull up if you can.
No.
The law is that you are, if it's safe to do so, you must stop on an orange, which is why they can book you in a red light camera for being 0.01 of a second after the red light.
Really?
Yes.
That's a problem for me because since I've been 18 and driving, I call them challenge lights.
So no, that's not there. Something different.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop my evil, evil ways. Enjoy the catch up.
Hey, guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away. But what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts. There's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now, and let's get into the podcast.
Big names in your workplace. All over the place. The big names in your workplace.
Oh, are they ever. Robin, since you've joined us, I know that you've just been amazed at the big
gobsmacked names
that have wandered into our listeners' workplaces. And if you're just coming on board and you're wondering, well, the names can't be that big, they can't be that interesting, have a listen to this small selection of some of the best.
Harvey Bay, back in the mid-'80s, it was Joe and Flo Bajocchi Peterson.
Red Bull F1 racer, the smiling Daniel Ricciardo.
Basically, Pope John Paul II.
And it was my sister's workplace, Michael Jackson, in Brisbane on Sandgate Road. She's working in a florist.
Basically the Pope.
Come on, I want some. Who's seen Bruce Springsteen? Has he wandered in for a burger somewhere?
He was staying down the coast, so he had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Even if it's Leroy Loggins getting a vanilla custard tart or something or other, I'm happy with
extra
that.
Extra points for a Brisbane bullet.
Big names in your workplace. All over the place. The big names in your workplace.
Okay, before we get into it, can we just say that traffic jam on Centenary Highway seems to have sorted itself out. So
good.
Continue as you were. Sorry.
So which big names have wandered into your workplace and you think, geez, is that who I think it is? Glenn's up first. Glenn, who is the big name? What was the workplace?
Yeah, g'day, gang. Good morning. Hey, we're talking late 90s in London, water ski instructor. We shut the place down.
Hang on. Where do you water ski in London?
Mate, water skiing is actually quite big in London. It's massive.
In the summer, I suppose.
Yeah, where do you do it, though?
In summer.
But you don't do it on the Thames, do you?
No, not on the Thames. We've got lots of dams and weirs and...
Okay.
So you're working away. You've got your life jacket on, waiting for the day to start. And what happens?
That's it. Park shuts down. Yeah. Oh. Prince Harry and all his mates from Eton come in for a private birthday party.
Beautiful. Oh,
was it Harry's party or was it another Eton boy?
No, it was Harry's party.
Oh, my God.
Even better.
You know who's still alive?
Just.
Wow.
Was she there?
Just by... No. Oh. No, she wasn't. None of the family were there apart from Harry and a couple of minders and about half a dozen of his mates.
Because he would have been about 13 or 14. He was being young.
Glenn. Really young.
Hey, Glenn, I had how's this for weird? A guy I went to university with one day just said, yeah, I went to Eton. And we all just sort of stopped and went, what are you doing here? And he told me that he was in the year above Harry and they were in the same house, you know, at Eton. And so he used to boss, so that meant that he got to boss Harry around. He used to make him go and get him cups of tea.
Oh, wouldn't you though?
How's that?
Wow.
Yeah,
what were you doing there, Glenn? What was your IQ?
Mate, I was a water ski instructor. Wow. I used to water ski instruct down here on the Gold Coast, and then every winter here, I'd go over there and ski competitively.
And now, Glenn, where has it led you? What are you doing?
I'm a groundsman at a school at Gold Coast.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's my dream job.
It is his dream job. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, God, it'd be so good.
Nelly, yes. Rochdale South, tell us, what was the workplace? Who walked in?
I used to work at a little cafe over by the Queensland Tennis Centre, and last year I had Nick Kyrgios coming in for about 3 weeks prior to the tournament, every day for a banana smoothie.
Okay. Yes.
Sam Stoza, she came in this year and last year, and Raphael actually popped his head in this year, which was pretty cool.
Nelly, how's the chat and banter with them? Like, do you, are you able to strike one up?
Nick is pretty laid back. He'll have a chat to you. I managed to get, hello, how are you going, out of Sam Stoza. She was pretty much in a rush, though.
Yeah.
They're pretty laid-back, nice people.
What about Rafa, though?
Rafa, he was very quiet. He sort of just had all these people around him, was a quick poke the head in, and he took off back to the tennis centre.
Right. He just would wander in, say, Una Cornish pasty, por favor, and then keep going. Thank you, Nelly.
Very
well played. Very well played, yes.
Chris of Shoncliffe.
Hi, how are you going?
You're an Uber driver.
Oh, that's the workplace, right, eh?
Yep. 3 stars. I started working for Uber in October. My first one was Greg Chappell.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking. Yes.
Did you have a chat?
Great conversationalist.
He's a great conversationalist.
Was he in the front?
Yeah, he sat in the front.
My second
one was John Eales.
How'd that one go?
Oh, mate, brilliant man. Very down to earth.
Yes.
Although his head was hitting the roof of my Mercedes, which made it a bit difficult.
Mercedes Uber. Righto. Who was the third one?
The third one. He was Kate Sobrano's father.
Yep.
Oh, please.
Okay. But how do you know it's Mr. Kate Sobrano's dad?
He was a lovely, lovely man, and we got a great conversation while I was taking him home. I was telling him that I love fishing. He said, well, if you love fishing so much, you can take me and I'll get to Kate Sobrano and we'll all go out for dinner one night.
Oh, wouldn't that be... what is Kate Sobrano... Like, you've got two captains of Australian sporting teams who are the greats, and then you've got Kate Sobrano's dad. What does Kate Sobrano sing anyone...
She has a long Kiss. Time ago. Kiss.
Yeah, Kiss. Yeah.
She's a lot
she's a brilliant rhythm and blues singer.
She's jazz. Here we go. Isn't she doing that Adelaide Jazz Festival? Isn't she something? Yeah.
Mate,
look, sorry.
Chris,
okay, I'll stop
that
now.
Ruin a good fishing trip. Having her along.
Mark of Cleveland.
G'day, how you doing, guys?
Yeah.
My ex-wife and I both worked at the Hyatt, and it also had Parliament House catering in Canberra. And my ex-wife was blessed by the Dalai Lama. Well, my son was, actually. He was newly born, so it was just like, still, my ex-wife was pregnant, and she was blessed by the Dalai Lama. So that was a great thing.
What's he into? If he got room service, what would he be getting?
Well, my ex-wife actually did all that, so I really don't know what he'd be eating.
Mung beans.
Probably it won't be fish and chips, I'm pretty sure of that.
Behind closed doors.
With other notorieties was the Clintons when they travelled to Australia.
Separate rooms?
Yeah, I was just about to
Separate rooms. Jeez, the cleaning Alan Ville's room, you have to clean the carpets, the bed, everything, jeez.
Yes, the in-house services were very expensive at the time, I guess.
Yes.
Anyone else? You're on a roll.
Well, pretty much. I'm like Ed. I'm from the entertainment industry as well. So, I was actually on the Paul Hogan show. That was.
I was going to say, Mark. Marky,
really?
How are you, bro?
I'm great, mate.
Did you spot yourself in the first episode of Hoax?
Unfortunately, no. I think I was more of a blur. It was a lot of fun doing it, and it was awesome. He'd done an awesome job.
Yeah, he did. So, he did a great job. Well, there you go. Yeah. So Mark's himself.
So did you, Ed. So did you. You did an awesome job.
All right, Mark wins. Congratulations, Mark. You've won today.
Jesus. All right, Mark. Mate, you're heading along to Merrick Watts' solo stand-up to a man
awesome.
Of the hour. It's already won an award.
How awesome is that?
It's really good stuff, man. BrizComFest.com. Really funny show.
A grateful winner.
He's very happy soul.
I can't send Chris.
I can't go past Glenn.
Oh, hang on.
Prince Harry.
Oh, what about Chris from Shawncliffe, Kate Sobrano's dad?
No, I need that.
Hang on.
You need something too.
Chris and Glenn, you're both going to the movies. You're going to see Gold starring Matthew McConaughey in the cinemas now.
There we go.
That was one of the best ones for a long time. Thank you for that. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, OVO will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and OVO will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, for you boys that don't catch up on Married at First Sight, let me just get you into the picture. So there were two couples, Cheryl and Jonathan, and Andrew and Lauren. Lauren ran off on the wedding night, so Andrew was left on his own. Cheryl and Jonathan didn't hit it off, and Cheryl decided that she no longer wanted to be with him.
Can I ask a question? I walked past the TV last night,
right?
So I don't slow down when I see that show's on, but Kath was watching it. There was a couple in bed together.
Oh, yeah. They're now living together. They're all the couples are now living together.
Hey, there's some porking going on.
Well, yeah, there was that on the wedding night. What do you mean they're married?
Well, this came as a surprise. Oh, I just thought it was, the whole thing was a joke.
Yeah, well, it may well be, but they're still going to have a bit on the side. Anyway, last night, Cheryl and Andrew, so the two jilted people, decided to have a crack at each other in a nice way, like end up together.
But it
was revealed that Cheryl is quite young and Andrew is not so.
Yeah, the expert did mention you were older.
I thought you were late 20s, yeah?
No, I'm 25.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
Are you playing with me here?
Obviously, that kind of affects you because you're, like, in shock.
Are you 25?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Does it really matter?
He's 38.
Ooh.
So there's a 13-year-old.
Did the psychologist bring these two together?
No. Cheryl requested.
Is Cheryl a brizzy girl?
Gold Coast.
Oh, right. I could be wrong.
So, 13 years. What do you reckon?
Fine?
My parents were 13 years apart. The fact that my father died at 56 was a little dodgy, but, you know, so okay. 13, you know, 13 years is a thing.
Anything more than four is too much.
Ooh. Really? Yeah. Why?
You're not in the same zone of cultural references.
And that matters in a marriage?
My wife and I only just hang on. Like, I'll mention cartoons and stuff, you know, if you go back to those cultural type references.
Okay.
And if they don't get them, that's why I couldn't marry anyone from anywhere else, because you've got to have those old, that's how I am. That's just me. 4 years is about
four
it.
4 years. Ed?
No, I mean, I think it depends on the couple, but I just don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters either. I mean, I think if you're, like, generationally
13
altered,
years?
Yeah.
Love is love, motto.
Yeah.
Love is love.
Yeah, motto.
Right, eh?
Okay, we want to know. We want to know about those age differences.
Let's hear it. I'd like to know biggest
What's
biggest
the most extreme?
Difference.
He's 72 and dies. Oh, she's 59. I guess that's all right.
That's okay.
And does it work? How does it go? Is it a good idea? Is it a bad
idea? No, I want the biggest.
With the absolute extreme.
Yeah. How many difference between you and Tiff, Ed?
4.5.
Oh, right, no.
He's out of your limit there, Marto.
Oh, no, 4.5. Half's all right. I just reckon 4 is just such a tidy. I don't know. You're in the same zone.
Because
well, Dave.
Yeah, okay, Dave.
Well, sorry.
Dave from Clayfield. What's the age gap in your relationship, mate?
17 years, mate.
She older or younger?
She's younger.
Okay. Now you
She's 43. I'm 61.
Right. Is that the second time round?
Yeah.
So, you know when you're having conversations, does it matter that you've come up in different generations sort of thing?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes.
You overcome that.
But, I suppose so, but, yeah, we seem to get along together.
And you sound like you keep it pretty fit, Dave. You're out and about. You're a sprightly 61.
Yeah, well, I think so.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the benefit, Dave? What are the good bits?
I can't tell you that, Robert.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Not on air, yeah.
You just did.
Yeah, right. Valentine's Day yesterday. Dave's still puffy.
Kayla, Brighton, what's the age gap? What's that extreme age gap?
We are 16 years apart.
How old are you?
Yeah.
I'm 29 and he's 45.
And how did you meet Kayla?
We met online. I lived on a farm in the middle of nowhere, had no one to talk to, and he worked away a lot, so the only way he could meet anyone was online as well. So
I love that.
It works. Yeah.
And how long have you been together?
5 years. We have 5 kids between us, and yeah, it works perfectly. Yeah, I was. I listen to the same sort of music as him and stuff like that.
That's
so
important.
There's not really much difference.
And now, Kayla, yeah, when you first found out that, you know, he was, you know, that much older than you, when you first found out, were you like, oh, or were you still, no problem?
It was no problem because guys my age, because I was 23 when I met him, they only wanted one thing, and I had kids, so I couldn't drop them at the hat. Like, I had to find a man, not a boy.
Right, there makes sense.
What did your dad say, though? That's what I always. What did he say?
My dad actually was really supportive because of the person that I was with before I met Rob. So
yeah, right.
He was happy that she was doing upgraded. Well.
Oh, yep. Happy. Okay,
thanks. Oh no, hang on, Tony of the Valley.
Yeah.
Hello. You were 18 and you dated how old?
51.
Whoa. You only wanted one thing as well, didn't you, Tony?
Yes, mate.
How long did it last, Tone?
Oh, probably about 8 months.
8 months. And she was a much older than your mother.
Yes.
Yeah, what did your mum say?
Not much. No, mum was pretty cool about it.
Yeah. Where'd you meet, Tone? Where did you two, bingo? Where did you two meet?
I was working in a bar in the city. Yeah, man. And she used to come in on a Friday night.
Cougar.
So it sort of went from there,
right? Yeah, it did, didn't it, Tone? Yeah.
I like it. What, Tone, are you more aligned with your partner these days, age-wise?
I don't have one. I don't want one.
Yeah. You're old and jaded now.
Oh, Tone, thanks, loving Tone. It. Loving Tone. Here comes Liz from Redcliffe. Liz, what's the age gap? Hi. Now, what happened with you? Big age gap in relationships. What happened?
Yeah, so my previous boss and his wife, there was about 20 years between them. They're the sweetest couple ever. But a girl I went to school with, there was her mum was in her 40s and her dad was in his 70s. Ooh. So the first time I went around her house, I thought it was her granddad.
No,
her rich granddad, I bet. Was he wealthy?
No, not really.
It was embarrassing, though. Like, I can talk about this from personal experience with my father, who was 13 years older than my mum. It was embarrassing because kids in primary school would think he was my granddad. And you'd have to go, no.
He's dead.
So
just want to. I want to shout out to Arj Barker, a great comedian who would always say when people. He's in his late 30s, you know, and he has this. This is his joke. I'm quoting Arj, and he'd be on stage, and people keep saying, "Oh, Arj, why aren't you settling down? Why aren't you settling down? Why aren't you settling down?" And Arj says, "Oh, I'm in my late 30s, and I work in show business. My wife hasn't even been born yet."
Marto, Ed, and Robin, the new Triple M.
By popular demand, he is back for the first time this year. We welcome Mick Molloy. Hi, Mickey.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh no.
Mick.
What's wrong, mate? This is unbelievable. It's like a slap in the face.
Is it?
How long have I been in this business, guys, girls?
You were in 1841, I think. Was the first,
I was the first phoner from Marconi. Hello, let's take our first caller. Hello, it's Mickey.
Marconi and Mick was the first drive show that they had.
They've been doing this forever.
Marconi Molloy.
Marconi Molloy for the drive home in your jalopy.
We used to have guys out there.
Okay, so look, you're looking at the tape.
A nice cold can of Robinson's lemon barley. Beautiful.
The hot tea Fords.
Okay.
What?
So you've got the...
There's a list out. Yeah. It's Australia's top 20 radio hosts revealed.
What's
Take Five
What's
magazine or whoever they are
Wonderful.
Has come up with it. And you can imagine the glee with which I scanned down the list.
Straight away.
Thinking, okay, not top five. It's awkward. Not top 10. It's 20 and there's no me.
No Mickey.
And you see some of the other bums on here. I mean, seriously, Ed, are you...
Yeah,
I mean, you're a good guy, but
thanks, mate.
I wouldn't
say
you're classically good looking.
Oh,
are you cute though, Ed?
Oh, come on! He's got a bung eye. You got a bung eye.
I do have a bung eye.
Do you?
That is true.
What's that from?
What is that from?
It's from years.
It's a nervous tic. It just drives me mad.
Do you reckon he looks a bit like K.D. Lang? Like a really tall K.D. Lang?
That's outrageous.
K.D. Lang is also on this list. Over the top 20 radio hanks revealed. Hey, Mickey, Mardo, are you in there?
No, I knew you'd be upset because you work with Eddie McGuire. How did he get on there?
Ah, well, clearly he knows people in very powerful places. Right. That is magazine. Eddie McGuire in there. That doesn't work at all.
Well, he's number 14 and Ed's number 11.
Look at that.
Got him covered.
Dave Hughes. It looks like he's been wrenched from the womb by some forceps and he's never fully recovered.
That's a disappointing list. Mick,
he's a type of bloke you wouldn't want to run into at Wolf Creek, Dave Hughes. And there he is. Ray Hadley. Hadley's getting a run.
None of us can justify that.
He's coming in at 20. Jabba the Hutt. What is going on? Come on, Robin, you're an independent arbiter. Do you?
Yeah, exactly.
Muscle my way into this list?
Well,
that's
what we needed.
What a mole. That is unbelievable.
Talking about being an eclectic offering of the top 20. What does that eclectic mean?
Well, they're unusual.
That's right.
Because you're usual, Mick. There you go.
Kyle Sandilands has beaten you on there, Mick.
Kyle Sandilands.
Mm. Osher. Osher's
blokes
on
in
there.
A Kyle Sandilands suit. Who knows? Who can tell the difference these days? Everyone says I look like Whipper, but I don't get on and he gets on.
No one even knows what a Whipper is. Listen.
This is a joke.
All right.
There's the radio darlings, Hamish and Andy. Butter wouldn't melt in their mouth.
Exactly.
One of those guys is making a suit out of human skin in the basement. I'm telling you.
Wow.
Some very bad stories coming out about those two.
Must try harder, you two, if you want to make the list next year.
Andy cross-dresses.
I seriously want to know what happened to your eyes. You can have a couple of days.
Oh, now
to
it's
come
eyes, is it? It was eyes. It was eye a second ago. Yeah, now it's eyes.
Distracts from your wobbly jaw.
Go away, my boy.
Pop some pants on too.
Go away,
Mardo, Ed, and Robin.
This is
going to
be a very ugly baby.
This is outrage.
Good to have you back, Mick.
So fuel price, the fuel price saga has reared its ugly head again. And Mardo, you and I both heard on our way in this morning a news report somewhere about a study, Robin, that had been conducted over quite a lengthy period of time about collusion between the... Yeah, I know, we all...
We all snigger away.
What collusion? Claire in our newsroom. Hi, Claire. Now, we asked you to dig a little bit deeper on this. What's come out?
Yeah, so like you say, it's what we've all been thinking. So the study, it's been done over 15 years. It's actually by people at the Uni of Melbourne. 15 years. Uni of Melbourne, Uni of Sydney. So what they've done is they've worked together. So use Perth as an example, okay? That's the one that they've talked about. They reckon that the retailers all work together, similar right across the country, according to these researchers, where prices jack up about 20%. In Perth, for example, it's on a Thursday. And then they only drop by 1 or 2 cents for the next few days until another spike happens. So it means, I don't know if you just heard of my news, but it means that profits for these companies, for the fuel retailers, have jumped up 700%.
Over that time.
Whoa.
How did they say they were doing it? Were they just looking at each other's signs or were they actually ringing each other? Did they get to that stage?
So they're saying that it is one of these like unspoken rules. So they don't necessarily talk about it in the industry, but exactly what you say. They see the sign and they all follow suit. So
but that's like radio. That's a bit like radio. Like every, 6 or 7 months, even though we don't realise it, every station just does secret sound. And we just know when it's time. We think of a new name for it and then we do it and then the others
or
do it.
What's the beat the bomb one?
Or beat the Bowser. Yeah. Remember when we put the two together? Sorry to cut you
Stop.
Off, Claire.
No, yeah, the thing is, I don't know if those radio inside sort of knowledge has any effect, though, on our hip pocket. So these fuel prices, this actually cost us, if you're driving an average Toyota, there you go, Ed.
No such thing.
It'll cost you about $130 extra a year because of this.
Well, that's not our fault. That's not Toyota's wonderful vehicle.
Okay,
that's
stop. Just we're drinking fuel.
Stop with the Toyota nonsense. Next time, can you just mention a Subaru or
Sierra
something?
Mazda, right? Please.
Say Mahindra.
Hey, okay, but are they saying, so this happened in Perth, 15 years. This is
so what are we
evidence. So it's obviously happening in Brisbane as well.
Yeah.
But they reckon Guys, don't they reckon those fuel stations make no money out of the fuel? Do you remember whenever we have these chat, make no money out of the fuel? It's like just getting you in. The reason they drop their prices to get you in the door so they make the money out of the bread, milk, papers,
whatever else.
What's the truth?
I don't know.
And if they make money out of fuel, it's a bonus for them.
Well, I'm curious though, Claire, how are they going to stop it? Like now that we've known that it's happening, is anyone going to be able to?
Well, this is the thing. So they're saying that it needs to be kind of a government move. It needs to be something that's done on government level, probably federal government, because of the fact that it's right across the country. To give you an idea, Marto, I'll tell you what they make off fuel.
Okay.
So when this started, before the collusion was picked up, they reckon they were making about 0.71 cents a litre on fuel, okay? Over 5 years, when this collusion was happening, they reckon that fuel companies now make 5.73 cents per litre.
Oh, my God.
And that's at the bottom of the fuel cycle, I'll add, as well. Bottom of the cycle.
Let's say most of the fuel, I'm going to have a guess and say they're selling 50,000 litres a day. Would that be about right? Times 5 cents. Anyone got that? Is that 25,000 or 25,000?
A fair bit.
A lot.
Yeah.
None of us were good at maths.
No. Well, I'm still going, all right?
What are you seeing around Brisbane, the prices? How are you getting around it is what I'd like
Somebody
to know.
Somebody will know the secret behind this. You can stay anonymous if you want. What's the real story?
Can we collude to avoid the collusion?
Isn't there the ACCC, they have a look at this survey, research, and go, oh, right, well, let's fine them $12 million. Isn't that what they're supposed to do? Come down if you're colluding to trick the public. You're supposed to get fined.
Well, that
doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
But let's see, because we do have an anonymous insider. Ooh. Hello there.
I used to work in a call centre here in Brisbane about 20 years ago. So it was like a paging service. People would call in and tell me their message and I'd type it into a paging service.
Yeah.
And every afternoon we had callers from petrol stations calling in and giving the prices of other competitors in the area. So they'd call in and say BP Kelvin Grove $1.33.9 or Newmarket Mobil $1.32.5.
Yeah, so they could set it. So then they could set their price accordingly. And that was, how long ago was that anonymous?
20 years ago.
Yeah, so this is how, it's been going on. So forget 15 years.
Anyone used to have one of those pages?
Yeah, yeah.
Weren't they funny?
Big box thing that you attached to your jeans.
If you're young, there used to be these things before mobile phones that used to have a message typed to them. Oh, God.
It made you feel important.
I never had one. I wasn't important enough. Hold on, let's go to Lex from Gumdale. Did you hear that one, Lex?
Yeah, I did, Marta. Yeah, that is true. Pricing does follow the boards. People do look around and adjust their prices accordingly. Sydney's really bad for it. But one of the things we've got to understand is there's nearly 44 cents is an excise that's on the fuel price as a tax, which isn't affected by the fuel company. So if you take that off what the board prices are, you know, you're back down at nearly sort of 90 cents a litre, 80 cents a litre.
Yeah. So the government out of every litre is getting 40 cents.
Well, 40 cents plus GST. So I think it's 40.1. The excise has just gone up. So that's like a road tax that we pay as motorists. So you think about the amount of litres of fuel that are sold throughout Australia on a daily basis and the excise that the government collects from the motorists. Why are our roads congested?
Oh, and why are they so bad?
Why are our roads congested? Hey, that's interesting.
Do you agree that the money isn't made out of the fuel, though? It's made what's in the store?
Yeah, they do make... We deliver a lot of fuel, and some of the independents, they make their money out of what they sell in the stores. That's the main thing. The fuel's just a reason for people to stop. But there's normally sort of 10 to 15 cents a litre margin in and above the terminal gate price. Everyone knows each other's pricing because if you're on a daily basis, all the terminals that have the fuel in Australia publish their gate price, what they sell bulk loads of fuel from their terminal gate every day. So it's published on websites so everyone can see it.
Yeah, righto.
All right, thanks, Lex. Finally, we go to Glenn from Peak Crossing. Glenn, what do you want to say about the collusion of prices with the fuel companies?
Well, they've got to be colluding because they all go up and down at the same time. I don't think it's got anything to do with the price of fuel per barrel. I think it's they get a memo from their head office saying sell fuel at this price today, and that's what they do. And somewhere upstairs, they are all colluding and fixing it. So they all pay the same price. the government won't change it either because that's where they're getting their money from, that fuel and alcohol and cigarettes.
The higher it is, the higher the price, the more tax we get, and our government is going broke, which is why they keep trying to send out these charges to all the welfare people.
Yep, appreciate that. Whoa. Thank you, everybody.
Marto, Ed and Rob in the new Triple M.
Now, yesterday obviously was Valentine's Day, and it was a pretty comprehensive roundup that we were doing, Marto. You went out and about and delivered roses to those that thought they perhaps because of lazy partners or they weren't with somebody that they were going to get some. We're going to hear some of those beautiful deliveries in a moment.
So grateful they were.
We had a ton of people calling up, just blokes going, oh, nah, forgot. Oh, no, no, she knows I love her, which is Robin, as we know, is...
Not acceptable.
Yeah, thank you. It's not acceptable.
Not acceptable
at all. But there's plenty of different types of ways to have a sadder than average Valentine's Day, is there not, Brendan?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I was lucky enough yesterday to catch up with Pedro Pascal. He's in that new movie, The Great Wall, with Matt Damon.
Isn't he also from Game of Thrones, that guy?
Mate, Game of Thrones, Narcos, but this film's great. I've seen it. It comes out Thursday. Really good stuff.
Oh, good one.
I was having a chat because he's obviously swimming in cash now. I mean, he's a big movie star. He's a big celebrity. So I asked him how lavish his plans were for Valentine's Day yesterday.
I've got no one to spend it on this Valentine's Day. I hate Valentine's Day. I'm doing press with Matt Damon, and I've actually, if you must know, have invited myself to the Valentine's Day dinner that Matt Damon is taking his wife, Luciana, to.
Oh, no. Can you do that? Are you allowed to do that?
I did it.
He's gate-crashed Valentine's Day with Matt Damon.
That's a very interesting point you bring up, because I know someone who's done some work with Matt Damon, Robin.
Oh, yeah.
And they said to this Matt Damon, how do you stay, you know, faithful in the marriage when you get non-stop girls throwing themselves at you non-stop all day?
Mm-hmm.
And he said the key is to always have your partner around.
Yeah, maybe not with another actor, but, you know.
Was she with him when he said that?
She may have been within earshot. She may have been within earshot, yes.
How did you go yesterday, if we're looking backwards, Robin?
I got surprised. So I have been seeing a guy kind of on and off in Sydney, but he lives in Sydney, and that's been a bit of
Stefanovic.
An issue. No. The fact that I have his number in my phone is neither here nor there, but no, it's not Carl Stefanovic. Oh, mate, I'm way too old for Carl. Come on.
That's true.
So anyway, I got a phone call as I was leaving the studios here from him. His name is Sean. And and he said, where are you? And I said, oh, I'm at work, you know. And he said, so are you going to stay at work or are you going home? And I said, no, I'm going home. I said, why? And he goes, oh, just checking. So I thought, okay, I'll get home and there'll be a big bunch of flowers or whatever.
Of course.
It was him.
Oh, he was there.
He appeared.
Oh, nice
one.
Oh,
that's nice.
That's big.
Yeah. So,
and what'd you do? Go out for lunch? You have a nice lunch?
Yes,
what'd
and then
do?
We went to Bruce last night.
Oh,
so
that's
it. Just lovely.
That is so,
you
nice.
Know,
well done.
There's not a lot of things that surprise me in my life because, you know, I'm usually on top of everything. So that was a very, very kind
so
and loving
Sean
thing.
Sean is his name. It's not Sean Coombs, otherwise known as P. Diddy, is it?
Are you with P. Diddy?
Are you with P. Diddy?
Would
incredible.
P. Diddy have gone to Bruce Springsteen?
It's now.
Oh, the Courier Mail's going to get on this.
Where does your brain go that you connect me to P. Diddy?
Is it Sean Garlick? The former
Gallows Pies.
Gallows Pies
proprietor.
That's incredible.
Former hooker for South Sydney.
No.
Wow. What a career. That's
anyway,
a catch.
Well,
that's a real catch
Michaels.
If you're with him.
Wrestler.
Can you bring in some pies? Shawn Michaels.
The wrestler.
God, he used
is
to pull his
Shawn
togs up too high, didn't he?
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels.
No, none of the above.
Okay.
Let's move on to Marto, who was taking Shawn. Flowers out.
Oh,
and
don't
making...
ask me how things went. My report card is not really good. Actually, I did good things, yes.
What are you talking about? You stuffed it up at home, but you went
when
and made other
home,
people happy.
Good.
Okay, well, tell us about making other people happy.
Hold on, no. Let's finish. Let's go with the bad bit first and then finish the good bit.
All right,
good.
Go on.
Yeah, I realised at 5:30 after taking flowers out to people's workplaces all day that I came home with nothing. I wrote a little note. And it was nice. It was heartfelt and everything else, but Kath said it wasn't long enough.
No, because it was on a piece of paper that you pulled
out
from
envelope.
A notepad.
I put it in an envelope. Anyway.
It was about four words on it.
I fell for my own thing. But the good thing is... I went out and made other people's days really happy, and everyone was so grateful and nice. I went down. I'll tell you where I went. First place before I went out into the suburbs, down in Woolworths at MacArthur Chambers on the corner of Queen and Edward, right? Went in there. I was told Amanda, she rang yesterday, rang the line, and she said, I haven't had anything for years. Single mum. You have a listen to how grateful and happy, what a beautiful person she was.
Got a special Valentine's Day for Amanda. Could I page her or something other? Have you had many of these today?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, this is special. Could I call her? Is it just Amanda? Will I just say that? It's Amanda, there's a very special delivery at the front counter for you. Amanda. Thank you.
Special delivery.
Thank you, Marto.
Oh, Amanda.
Thank you.
Everyone in the shops is looking and going, oh,
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's unreal. It
makes my Valentine's Day special. Yeah,
exactly. No, I didn't bring the bars in because I've got more deliveries to do.
Yep.
That's all right.
No, that's fine. Thank you so much.
Enjoy your dessert. Look at you. She was so nice. But single mum, she hadn't got time for a bloke, etc. So she was so grateful.
Well,
that's how everyone was.
So you got a hug from her and not from your wife.
I heard a kiss in there as well. I don't know if you heard it. You can catch that full video of Marto's flower deliveries, changing lives, triplem.com.au.
That was the funniest. Yeah. I could work in that, whether you sell the durries there at the front of the supermarket. So much fun to use the microphone there.
Oh, no, you'd be a shocker.
Just
incredible.
Aisle 9.
Clean up.
Yeah. What a guy. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Is it Sean Penn?
Are you still going?
This was the headline today. Welfare accounts for 86% of all personal income tax. 86% of your income tax, according to the Courier Mail, is going to pay for welfare.
Did everyone hear that? Correct. Everyone who's driving to work this morning, 86% of our income tax that we pay that hurts, that rips out of our income, goes to welfare recipients.
Yeah, and they were fighting about it in Parliament yesterday, Marto.
Oh, did you hear Turnbull going on and saying, listen, we've got to cut welfare.
You cannot keep on borrowing your way into the future. Their failure to provide to live within our means is imposing an unconscionable burden of debt on our children and grandchildren.
Right, while we try and work out what unconscionable means, we've got Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's money man, the man we go to explain it all to us. Ross, surely that can't be true. 86% personal income tax to welfare. True or not true?
True. Absolutely 100% true. From the last federal budget that came out, here we go, the amount of money that was withheld from individuals' paychecks is $174.2 billion. Oh. Right, got that?
Yeah.
$174.2 billion. The government collects each year, give or take, about $400 billion. And of that $400 billion, $174 billion, in other words, around half of it comes from the taxes of ordinary people. Right? Now, there's a lot of other taxes that you pay as well. It actually ends up adding up to $188 billion, but let's take that $174. If you then go across and you look at what they spend their money on, they spend each year $450 billion, and of that $450 billion, they spend $158 billion on Social Security and welfare.
That's your 86%.
So therefore, they collect $174 billion from your wages in tax, and they spend $158 billion in Social Security and welfare.
Very clear.
But we're also talking about things like pensions, aren't we? We're talking about the
age pensions, the dole, family tax benefits A and B, all that type of stuff all goes into Social Security and welfare, disability pensions, all that type of thing. So you do need to be paying a decent wedge of your budget out. The problem is that as Australia is ageing and as more people end up on welfare, what's happened is that even many people who are working and paying taxes end up collecting more from the government than what they pay in taxes. So in actual fact, I think the work's been done, and there's fewer than half of all taxpayers who are going to work today who net contribute. In other words, most people are out there. We're not talking about people who don't work or people who are on age pension or something. Yeah. We're talking about people who are working. They actually collect back more from the government than what they pay in tax.
Yeah. Whoa. Ross, the government, are they running out of money? I see how hard they're working to squeeze people for money, whether it's welfare people or also income tax people. Have you ever seen the government work this hard, the tax department work this hard to squeeze money out of people?
No, but we're not. Number one, the government is not running out of money. That's number one. What the problem is the government, because it can't balance the budget, in other words, you know, as I said, the amount of money it collects versus the amount of money it spends. It's spending more. So it's spending more on social security and welfare. It's spending more on health is the other big one. It spends more than $70 billion a year on health. And that is growing. And the reason for that is because all of this is growing, the problem is it's not getting enough taxes in to be able to balance the budget. And so as a result, it has to go out and borrow more money. As it goes out and borrows more money, as any household will tell you, you've got to pay more in interest. As you pay more in interest, you've got less to spend on all these other things.
Okay.
So the answer is, even though Australia is in a much better debt position than just about any other country on the planet, certainly the developed countries on the planet, the fact is at some point the piper will call and you cannot continue to go, which is exactly what they were saying in Parliament yesterday. And this $13 billion they haven't been able to get through in savings, even though people say it's not fair, you know, because it's always about me, right? You know, I don't want to pay that, or I don't want to have that cut. And truly, we can always find someone who's disadvantaged by every cut that comes. If you don't ultimately cut in the areas where you're spending most, which is social security and welfare, that bill is just going to keep ballooning out, and ultimately the country as a whole has a real problem.
Just one last one. Why can't we increase company tax? And they're always talking about decreasing.
Well, the reason is because if you increase company tax, companies will be more encouraged to go overseas because the UK is now going to have a company tax rate at 17%. You've got a company tax rate in the US coming at 15%. Yeah. Why would I open a factory in Australia where I'm paying 30% tax and you want to tax more when I could go overseas and I could actually make more profits and be taxed less?
Of course.
Why would I have any incentive to do any business in Australia?
Mm. Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's Money Man. It is always a pleasure. Hey, if you want to listen to his podcast, which I do, which is great, Money News with Ross Greenwood, just chuck that into your podcast server. It's an absolute belter. And just before you wander off to your next engagement, Commonwealth Bank's profits just released. How'd they go?
Literally half an hour ago, $4.9 billion the bank made in the past half year. So it's up by 2%. They're worried because they're getting squeezed on their margins. Exactly half an hour after they put out that result, they said they're going to increase interest rates on investors and also some of their line of credit home loans straight after that. So half an hour after, a whack across the chops.
Channel 9's Money Man, Ross Greenwood. It's always wonderful to speak to you. Thanks, mate.
We love you, Ross. Yeah. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Do you guys remember about 12 days ago we reported on a cruise ship that had a few problems with a lot of the guests with gastro?
The poo cruise.
Well, that's what I called it at the time. Since then, I've had so many people going, mate, you got to take it easy on cruising. It's such a wonderful thing. You've got to try it. And so many blokes have gone, it was so good. All right. And that's fabulous. Mm. Remember that day there was a cruise insert into the paper, Come Cruising, when that story came out? What's in the Courier Mail today?
Another cruise lift out.
And what was on the news last night? And as predicted, because remember we said that cruise pulled in and 3 hours and all the sick people got off.
Yeah.
3 hours later they said, all good, people got back on. Well, last night on the news, Andrew Lofthouse.
Well, there's been another mass outbreak of gastro on the Sun Princess cruise ship. An estimated 200 passengers have been stricken with the illness this time. It comes less than a fortnight after nearly 100 passengers fell ill on the ship's last cruise.
Play the music.
The Poo Boat.
Okay, that's
What are you saying, Marto?
Well, what are you doing, the Savo? I'm getting on board. I got a few kilos to lose.
It starts on Channel 9, Planet Earth 2, as narrated by the wonderful David Attenborough. Sir David Attenborough, the BBC Natural History Unit is in charge of this one, Marto. Now, this why you love this is because we saw in the promo for this show, this is the one where the lizard escapes all those snakes in amazing HD. Now, if I told you that one of the guys behind this amazing show was born in Mount Isa and has now travelled the world and went to the University of Queensland...
That wouldn't surprise me at all. That's where Pat Rafter and Greg Norman are from. And if you tell me there was someone else famous from there, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I'd love you to meet Dr. Chadden Hunter. Hello, Chadden.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Mate, can we get straight to it? One of the most famous things I've ever seen is that lizard get along the rocky foreshore with all those snakes trying to nail it. Tell me you were involved with that and how.
It is pretty epic, isn't it? It just is one of the most amazing scenes. Even when we got the footage back, we had no idea that happened in nature. But yeah, we're trucking with those little baby iguanas, and when those snakes start coming out, it really is like something from The Mummy or something from science fiction. So yes, I think it'll take care of people's nightmares for the next 12 months.
So the cameras were just set along the beach, were they?
Well, we have a mixture of cameras and angles. So we had one guy doing long lens and picking off various things he can see, like a bit of a sniper. Wow. And then another guy who basically has a handheld stabilized camera that he carries along, but it's nice and smooth and he can run with it. Yeah. And so some of these animals on the Galapagos, they're so tame and so habituated that you can walk right beside them and amongst them. Wow. And even with those snakes, I mean, they pose no danger to humans. Oh. So the cameraman was able to basically run along beside the animals as they were doing their thing and get those incredible shots right in amongst the action.
But I'm guessing that you'd have to wait for hours or days or even weeks to get those kind of moments, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were out there for weeks for that one, and you know, sometimes it takes even longer. And I was trying to get a lion and buffalo battle in the Okavango, and we waited 8 weeks for that one day and night, and then you've got one half-an-hour moment to not stuff it up. So, wow. Yeah, it takes an incredible amount of patience, but for anybody who loves nature, you know, it's a dream job.
Chadden, can you blow away some of the smoke and mirrors just for everyone? You guys go out and do all the hard work. David Attenborough comes in and does the cream afterwards, doesn't he?
Well, look, to be fair, the guy's 90. I mean, yes. He's still a legend, but, wow. But yes, David is the voice of the series. I mean, he can't get into the field as much as he would love to these days. But we had him up in a hot air balloon in this series, so he's there over the Alps in you know, incredible high altitude and low temperatures. No, he kind of still, you know, keeps involved and, you know, does what he can. But, you know, at 90, he's a real trooper.
He's an absolute legend. And Dr. Chadden Hunter, producer of Planet Earth 2 and working right next to Sir David Attenborough, the show. It's on Channel 9 and it's Wednesday nights and then it's going to continue on. It looks like an absolute belter. We appreciate your time today. Thanks.
Yeah, lovely chatting to you.
Exciting. Last night went to my first ever Bruce Springsteen concert.
Yeah. So yeah. Jealous.
I've managed to miss it every time he's been around. And he was only here a couple of years ago, but absolutely awesome. I've never seen the Boondall Entertainment Centre so full. Mm-hmm. Issues getting in and getting out, but that's always the way.
That's the swamp.
Yeah, he started right on 7:30, no support act, and finished after 11.
Wow, that's him.
Yeah, but he must have been listening to you two yesterday morning because have a listen, because one of the things that he was really clear about early on was Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. Get your flowers on. Don't forget the flowers. You're through. I don't care if you're 5,000 miles away from home. Get the flowers. To the house. One shitty rose is all it takes.
Good work.
Then, good work. I know. See, how good was he? And everyone was like eating out of the palms of his hands, but ultimately it's about the music. He played a lot of stuff that I didn't recognise because I'm not a passionate fan.
He's played he has got such a huge volume of music.
300 songs, apparently.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah,
and certainly the people in the front were singing every single word. But, you know, you like it when your artist actually knows where they are. And certainly when he was going in and doing it, he knew he was in Brisbane.
Good evening, Brisbane!
Oh, that'd be the one you'd love.
Oh, yeah.
He made that specifically so he'd hit the charts. He went, right, no one seems to be connecting. I am the poet of America, but that was the one he wrote for chicks.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was a dance. He felt a little bit soiled. Sorry, I've read the book. But he wrote it so chicks could dance to his music.
There you go.
Did he say Mel Brisbane at the start?
No.
I thought there was a touch of...
Good evening, Brisbane. I thought there was a bit of... It was going so well.
Let's
check the tape.
Good evening, Brisbane.
There's no Mel there. Good evening, Brisbane. He's back, not tonight, tomorrow night. So that'll be for the diehard fans because tomorrow night's concert was the first one that went on sale and sold out. And last night's concert was the second concert. So it was people like me. who were going, I really should go.
Oh, I love him.
Anyway, it was really good.
Mudda, Robin, remember how excited we were when the Lord Mayor, Quirk, came in with his sort of cousin, Jeff Horn, the boxer.
Lovely
and we were
bloke.
Trying to love both of them. We're trying to say, all right, guys, when's this Pacquiao fight happening in Brisbane? Has it been secured?
And April 23, said, wasn't it?
We were trying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. And Quirky said, look, there's just a couple of more things to work out. Yeah. And then, Mudda, you and I have been quite distressed at the Twitter of Manny Pacquiao, the guy who tucks him into bed at night.
That's
who's called his business
and his sometimes chef and advisor.
Yeah, was on Twitter saying, who should Manny Pacquiao fight in the UAE?
What's
and not
going
only was
on?
They saying not Jeff Horn, but they're saying not in Brisbane. So some other bloke fighting in the UAE against Manny Pacquiao. I don't like the sound of this. So what we've done is gone to the source. Dean Lonergan, director and co-founder of Juco Events.
Now former a wonderful NRL second rower too.
Well, yeah, and Juco Events putting on massive, fantastic events all around the country and in New Zealand at the moment. Dean, good morning.
How are you guys? And I've got to tell you, I think it's a stretch to say former wonderful NRL second rower. I would say occasional second rower. No. The Canberra Raiders on a very, very occasional basis.
Journeyman. I'll tell you what, I'll give you a big rap. The Tens went all right. I commentated on the weekend for Fox. The Tens were wonderful that Juco put on, mate. Well done.
I'll tell you what, we couldn't be happier than what we've got with the Tens. It's a, you know, the product on field was nothing short of stunning. Going into the event, there was quite a few media were a little bit negative on it. But at the back end, I think the media has done, you know, they've gone, geez, this is a really good product.
Let's move on to the Jeff Horn Pacquiao fight. So Pacquiao's Twitter is suggesting the UAE and that he's not going to fight Jeff Horn. Where is the fight now as it stands? What's the situation?
Well, let's quickly go over that tweet. Whoever put that tweet out doesn't know much about boxing because, number one, there were four guys on it. One was Amir Khan, second was Jeff Horn, third was Terence Crawford, and fourth was Cal Brook. So let's go through them quickly one by one. Cal Brook's just signed to fight his mandatory. Terence Crawford's off the table because Pacquiao wants $20 million to fight him, and Bob Arum says, I'm not paying you that much, and Crawford's on Bob Arum's books. Amir Khan's just finished a long negotiation with Cal Brook. That fell over because he wanted so much money. And his last 40 fight he fought Canelo Alvarez got knocked out.
Oh, yeah, that's
people don't
right.
come off knockouts. People don't come off knockouts to fight for world titles. Yep. So it's fair to say that I'm very, very confident that we're going to be fighting in Brisbane April 23, but there's a bit of clouded stuff to get through just because this seems to be the norm for boxing, which drives me mental, but you're just going to work your way through it.
Is Pacquiao looking for a bit of extra coin, mate?
Well, it's fair to say every boxer looks for extra coin, and we'll just have to wait and see. You know, I don't know that Manny Pacquiao's the one behind this. It could be Michael Contz, but who I deal with is Bob Arum. Bob Arum of Top Rank has been doing this for 50 years. He's the exclusive worldwide promoter of Manny Pacquiao. And when Bob Arum says the fight comes to Suncorp, it comes to Suncorp. And until he tells me otherwise, mate, I keep working forward.
Right. Well, that's good news.
That's good news, yeah.
It's not what I thought you were going to say. So it's still potentially on.
100% it's still potentially on. And look, I know the logistics that go behind a fight of this magnitude. The UAE just doesn't have the boxing people up there to make this happen, number one. And number two, people who run conventions, which they're very good at, don't have the skill set in the UAE to do this, in my opinion. So let's just wait and see until this plays out. I'm very confident we're still going to get the fight down here, but there's a little ways to go yet.
Do you reckon you can get Quade Cooper on board to fight some plaster or anything like that?
As much as I like Quade Cooper, and I think he's a wonderful athlete, there is zero chance that he's going on what will be the best card that's ever been put on in Australian boxing, and we will have an undercard to match what is absolutely going to be a stunning event. So, but we just got a bit of ways to go to get there.
Jeez. Okay, Dean Lonergan from a Juco Events, the part of the people putting together the Pacquiao and Horn fight. It is I feel more reassured now that this fight could take place. Appreciate your time, mate. Anytime you want to update us, we'd love to hear from you.
Really appreciate being on, guys, and I'm looking forward to one day maybe Triple M can come on board as one of our major sponsors. We can run this out right across the country.
Hang on. You mean I could be a round girl? I'm in. Thank you, Dean.
Done. See you, guys.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up is brought to you by the unbreakable Toyota Hilux SR5 with satellite navigation and 3.5-tonne towing and trailer sway control. Search Toyota Value.